Foodblog Radio is brought to you in part by the Cooking Everything Outdoors show, featured on iTunes and YouTube. Hello, foodies. This is Gary House, Foodblog Radio, and I have the honor of introducing you to Seth Resler of MysteryMeat.org. Seth, welcome to Foodblog Radio.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I have to tell you that, and I want to let everybody know that Seth was one of the first people that reached out to me when I announced that I was starting this podcast, this show, and his words of encouragement were extremely inspiring. Of course, I immediately ran over to his website and checked it out. And his website, MysteryMeat.org, is probably one of the most fascinating concepts that I've run into in a long time.
Well, thank you.
Also has this very cool podcast that I started listening to and gone through several episodes and somewhat addicted to now at this point. And Seth, before we get talking about your MysteryMeat.org and your podcast and stuff, why don't you share a little bit about yourself with us?
Sure. So, I'm a former radio guy. I graduated college and started working at alternative rock radio stations and went around the country doing it. I was in St. Louis for a while and Boston and Providence and Seattle, and was on the air at K-Rock in New York, broadcasting out of the Howard Stern studio, same studio that he used for a while. And, radio just got to a point where it was less interesting. What I always loved about radio is that you could kind of get into a city and see how music was different in New England versus, the Pacific Northwest. And it sort of got to a point where it was just playing Nickelback on every single radio station, and I was less interested in that. And so I left and I entered the world of, social media and marketing and events. And I always loved having a foot in arts and entertainment, in hospitality. I was running bartending competitions for a while. I helped the New England Nightclub and Bar Expo up in the Northeast get off the ground, and loved doing things like that. And so one day I was driving home from work and I had this idea. Which was I'd been fascinated with flash mobs, which are these concepts where a bunch of people, they just sort of show up randomly and right. Do something and then disappear and never see each other. So you go onto YouTube and you'll see videos of people going to Penn Station, just freezing, standing there for 5 minutes and then walking off, and that's it. And I thought that was really cool. And I thought it would be a cool concept to have somebody do that at a restaurant. What if a bunch of people got together, had a meal, and then never saw each other again? And that idea eventually evolved into what is now Mystery Meat.
Wow. Now, did you have any background in food blogging or food at all?
No, to be really honest, the girl I was dating at the time was a big foodie. And so that was largely why I started it. I was doing a lot of work with bartenders and a lot of stuff in mixology. But no, I'm not a... I mean, I certainly have no training in that area. I certainly, I'm a better eater than I am a cook, for sure.
There you go.
I love the food blogging community. And when I first sort of stumbled into food bloggers, I was amazed. They're really nice people. They're really friendly. I find them to be, very intelligent group. When you go out with them, you have great conversations. I loved hanging out with food bloggers.
They're good people. They're hard workers.
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah.
And they're doing this, by and large, because they're passionate about it. And I love getting involved with people who are passionate about something. That energy and excitement, it was what I loved about the music industry. It was what I loved about all the different sort of things that I've done, is that when you get a really passionate community and you work around people who love what they're doing, it just makes it a lot of fun. So I'm not actually a food blogger per se, in that I don't write about food, and I'm a broadcaster. That's my background. And so I launched a podcast where I talked to food bloggers. And in part because I am intimidated, because, I think these guys do know a lot more than I do. So really the idea behind the podcast is not for me to talk about food, but for me to get them to talk about food and to tap into the knowledge that they have. You know, and it helps, honestly, in part because I don't know, you know, all the ins and outs of food. So, you know, when they mention something, an ingredient or a dish served or prepared a certain way, and I don't know what it is, I ask, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm sure that there's some of my listeners who are like, you're an idiot. How do you not know that? But I'm sure there's other listeners, you know, and I've actually heard from other listeners that they're glad that I asked because they didn't know either. And they would have been afraid to ask.
Well, that's how we learn.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, do you know how to cook, Seth?
I'm okay.
Survival food?
No, I mean I know how to follow a recipe.
Okay. Let's put it there. All right. So you got a foot up of a lot of people.
Yes.
All right. Very cool. So the whole idea of Mr. Meat, you were just driving down the road, something that just struck in your mind that this would be fun to do.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. So the basic concept of Mystery Meat is it's a bunch of foodies who get together to try a restaurant. The catch is they don't find out where they're going until 24 hours in advance. So, you know, you when you buy your ticket, and we put tickets on sale a week in advance, you don't know where it's going to be, which means that the people that you wind up getting who go to these mystery meets are adventurous foodies. They're the kind of people who will walk into a restaurant and say, I'll have whatever the chef recommends. And I'm like that. You know, I don't, you know, when I walk into a bar, I always want to try the beer that I've never had before. When I walk into a restaurant, I always ask, you know, the waiter, you know, what do you recommend? What would you eat if you were here? And I tend to order that dish because I like to experiment. So you get experimental people walking in, and they tend to be really passionate foodies, and I think that makes for great dinner conversation when you see who actually shows up.
Now, where was your first mystery meetup?
So the first one we did was a restaurant called 10 Tables in Cambridge. Well, let me back up. Let me tell you how the story of how we got to the first one.
Yeah.
So I had this idea while I was driving in the car, and I was like, all right, I'll throw up a website. So, you know, I threw up a WordPress website. I hopped on Twitter and started following some food bloggers and just started tweeting. I had no plans at that point to actually hold an event. I just, you know, it was sort of putting it up. And this entrepreneurial meetup group in Boston called me up and said, hey, you know, we like what your website and what you're talking about doing. Do you want to set up a table and, you know, talk to people? Because they were having something that was all food entrepreneurs. It was themed. And so I said, sure, I'll go. And the next thing I know, the columnist who writes the Boston.com, which is the Boston Globe's website, the columnist who writes their technology blog called me up and said, well, I hear you're presenting at this event. Can I talk to you about it? And so we talked a little bit. And then he published the column. And the column was, there was a lot of it that focused on Mystery Meat. And then I went, and people sort of liked it at the entrepreneurial meetup. So I literally looked around and I was like, well, I guess I actually have to hold a dinner now. You know, this is real. So I held it at a place called 10 Tables, which is this fantastic restaurant in Cambridge. They have a second location in Jamaica Plain. Honestly, I held it there because you know, they've got 10 tables, and if nobody showed up or only 6 people showed up, I wouldn't be that embarrassed, you know, and I wouldn't feel that bad.
Seth, do you give the restaurant any warning?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. So we call up the restaurant, you know, we say we'd like to bring in people on we always do them on a Tuesday. So it's always, you know, a slower night for the restaurant. You know, and I work out and this has evolved over time. I mean, I figured this out, but, we work out a price that includes tax and tip, but not drinks. You know, and we did the first one at, 10 tables, and 20 people showed up, nice. And we filled the restaurant. Yeah. I mean, it was a lot more than we expected. And, you know, I've sort of figured out over time that I do tickets, not because I, you know, make any money off this, but because it's easier than trying to split the bill 20 ways at the end of the night.
Absolutely.
You know? So, yeah. It's great. And I don't even get involved in the menu. Like, I don't work out the menu with the restaurant ahead of time. I tell them, you know, these are adventurous foodies. These are the people who will try new things. These are the people who are active on social media, and quite a few of them are food bloggers, and just put your best foot forward, you know, whatever you would put, knowing who's going to be there. And I let them do their thing.
Well, this could be a big promotional event for the restaurant as well.
Yeah, yeah, I think it could. I think, and we aim to, you know, my criteria for restaurants is I want something that's opened relatively recently. I want something, you know, that the reaction I want people to have is that's been on my list of places to go, you know. So that's really what I want people to say when they find out what the restaurant is. And I know that, you know, people are only going to come to the next one if they see that the last one was good and they like the restaurants that we've done in the past.
How many meetups have you had, Seth?
Boy, we just did our 18th in Boston last week. We just did our third in San Francisco, and we just did our first in Seattle. Okay. And we're about to do our first in San Jose.
Yeah, I saw that. That's actually February
5th
yeah. of 2013, so right around when the podcast gets released. So
yeah, yeah. So we'll do our first.
Fascinating. Now, how many cities here? You have a list of cities. There's about a dozen?
Yeah, well, no. So we started in Boston in 2010. And, you know, we were doing a dinner a month, and they were fantastic. And I moved out to California. This is where I'm from. My family's here. My sister, you know, started having kids and I wanted to be around them and I missed the sunshine. Mm-hmm. So I came out here. And that's when I discovered that I could keep running Mystery Meat Dinners over on the East Coast if I got local food bloggers to host. So I handle all the sort of ticketing, the online stuff, the payment with the restaurant. But a local food blogger will come in, will choose the restaurant, will get up and say a few words and greet people at the beginning of the dinner, and then you know, just do a write-up afterwards for our website. Mm-hmm. And it's actually worked fantastic that way, and that's how we've gotten other people involved. And so that's how I figured out that I could go to other cities. Right. Launch San Francisco next because I'm here and because it's such a fantastic dining scene. And then I interviewed for my podcast a woman named Marissa Yamashiro, who runs the Almost Fit to Eat blog. And she was great. And she said, you know, hey, I'd be interested in hosting a dinner in Seattle if you want. And so we set it up. And she just hosted our first Seattle dinner. San Jose will be our fourth city. And again, you know, I'm here. So that makes it pretty easy. And then we'll see where we go next. You know, I've had other bloggers that I've interviewed for the podcast who've said, you know, I'd love to host a dinner. And so we're starting to do that in other cities.
Well, that's fantastic. I could just see it just growing from there. Anything overseas yet out of the United States?
Not yet. I'm working on getting my first podcast guest who's from overseas.
Excellent.
And they actually run something that's very interesting that's somewhat similar. It's kind of a social dining experience, but it's not exactly the same thing. So
cool. Well, let's talk a little bit about your website and what you have set up here. And when we go to your website, what are we going to find, Seth?
Well, I mean, the first thing obviously is, you know, a little video over there on the right that explains what Mystery Meat is and just sort of has some photos from some past Mystery Meats that we've done. You know, I get a lot of questions. I get one of the questions is who shows up to these things? And the answer is, frankly, just people who love food. You know, all different ages, all different, you know, some people come as a couple, some people come single. But one of the things that's actually been really nice about this event, and I was surprised, is so many meetups you go to are either singles meetups mm-hmm. or else they're business networking meetups. Here's my business card right. kind of thing. And either way, you've got sort of this pressure that you feel when you go to that. Mm-hmm. And going to these is actually, I find, enjoyable and relaxing. And you don't have that sort of social pressure. It's just a bunch of people hanging out and enjoying food. And so it's been great, you know, the variety of people we have. So that's why I wanted to put the video up, is just sort of show. And you can actually see there some of the, you know, a lot of what we do is just sort of a dinner at the restaurant, but we've done a couple that have been different and a little more elaborate. One of them that we did was, one of the first ones we did was dining in the dark. So people were blindfolded
wow.
for the entire meal. And the whole thing was narrated. And yeah, the guy behind Boston Chocolate Tours helped set that up and was absolutely fantastic. And we did it, if you've ever watched the TV show Cheers, mm-hmm. You know that there's the restaurant Melville's, which is above Cheers, and Cheers is based on an actual, you know, it's now a very touristy place, but the Bull and Finch pub. And above it is the Hampshire House, which was Melville's on Cheers. And that's where we held the Dining in the Dark.
Fantastic.
So really cool. We did another one that was, there is a berry called the Miracle Berry, which when you suck on it, the proteins bind with your tongue. And so if you taste anything that is sour, it tastes sweet. So you suck on a lemon and it tastes like lemonade. You drink vinegar, it tastes like apple cider. You eat sour cream and it tastes like, you know, plain yogurt. And so it's fantastic.
Wow.
And so we had a chef from the Cambridge Cooking School come in and do an entire meal and an entire menu planned around that. We did one that was 10 food trucks. So you would walk from food truck to food truck to food truck. So we've done some cool events there too. Yeah. And I just wanted to showcase them with the video.
Yeah.
And then over on the left there, obviously you can see the upcoming dinners we've got the, San Jose one. We'll do another San Francisco, Boston, and Seattle one coming up in March. So those will go up soon. And you know, if people want to sign up, they can click the big orange button that says "Get Your Invitation."
And it's just a matter of submitting your name, email, and
yeah, that's all it is. So we email out the invitation. So we usually don't post the link on the actual website. You sign up for the email and that's how you get the invitation. Mm-hmm. And I list a number of cities there that we're not in yet. And what I'm really doing is when we see a surge in interest or a spike in interest in a particular city, that's when we know it's time to go in. So, you know, I'm looking for food bloggers to spread the word and share with other people, you know, where they are. I ask people if they're foodies or food bloggers. We try to always put tickets on sale to food bloggers a day before everybody else. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I want to reward people for being food bloggers because I know that that's a lot of work and they put a lot into it. And so I want to give them the opportunity to come.
Right. Now, I can host one, right?
Absolutely.
There's a link here on the right.
Absolutely. So if you're a food blogger or, you know, just a foodie, mostly it's been food bloggers hosting, but we've had a couple of sort of people in the food entrepreneur space host a dinner. I'm working with a couple of guys who have a microbrew that they're getting up off the ground, and we're working on doing a dinner with them. So yeah, we love to have guest hosts.
I think I want the invitation to the microbrew.
Yes.
That sounds good.
And it's going to be really interesting because, you know, these guys and you know, nothing's set in stone yet, but it's actually an Indian beer. So we're going to pair it at, you know, I'll say an Indian restaurant.
Excellent.
And I think it could be really interesting. But yeah, we're always looking. And hosting, by the way, is not hard. You know, you pick the restaurant, you know, say a couple things at the beginning and just sort of greet everybody and make sure everybody has a good time. And then you do a write up at the end. So it's not a difficult thing to do to host.
Right. It sounds pretty simple to me, actually. When I sign up for an invitation, do you inform me of all of the events that are coming up around the country or just
specific
to my region?
So we target it, you know, and I'm a big, because I'm an online marketing guy, I'm very sensitive to things like spam and I really don't want to flood people's inbox. So no, you choose your city and we only send you emails for events happening when we've got something going on in that city. You can decide whether you want to get emails about, you know, the podcast or not. You can decide whether you want to get emails about some of the other things that we're doing. So no, I try very hard to make sure that the information that you get is actually relevant to you.
All right. Excellent. Now, where can we find the most information about a meetup that you've had?
So if you go over into the right, you'll see a link that says past dinners. I think it's the third one down.
Okay.
You can click on that and you can see, you know, and again, I am not a food blogger, so I like to think that the write-ups got a little better when I started having the actual guest hosts do the write-up instead of me.
But you can see they are doing the write-up.
Yeah. Yes. So we've now started, you know, you can see Marissa just, in fact, I just posted the write-ups that were done by Marissa for the one in Seattle and Bianca for the event in Rialto. Bianca Garcia runs the Confessions of a Chocoholic blog in Boston, and she's fantastic. And she's been a big supporter of Mystery Meat from the beginning, and it was actually her birthday. So we had a special Mystery Meat that celebrated her birthday as well. This one is Seattle. So this is the first one that we just did in Seattle, a place called Luke. And the chef there is, you know, we were talking about butchering words that we're not familiar with. Thierry Ratteroux, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Okay. He goes by the chef in the hat because that's a much easier way to say his name. And he's got a fantastic restaurant there called Luke. And so Marissa said, hey, you know, I really want to do this one. And we set it up and it looks like you put together a great meal.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of these dishes are just, I think, to satisfy any palate. That is a grilled beef. No, that's not a steak. What is that there? Clams? Some calamari?
Yes, that is the, that's what it looks like. And it says there in the heading above, I can't read it on this recording, and it's always tough because I always get a little jealous because I don't actually get to eat the dishes.
Yeah, I think you need to work into the ticket price, your ticket to these events, Seth.
Yes, my airfare.
Yes, so, I think that has to be fitted in there.
And I would love to get to the point with Mystery Meat where I'm actually, you know, a part of what I'm doing is traveling around the country and you know, greeting people at these different dinners. And you can actually see, if you scroll up a little bit, you'll see some of the clues that we gave out. So we do give out clues leading up to the restaurant. And so these are a few that we gave out. And what I find is that there's always some people who, you know, the food bloggers who are really plugged into the scene can sometimes figure it out. But there's a lot of people who, frankly, they're okay with not knowing.
Well, for us that don't understand what the clues mean, what is the clues for?
So this is, when we don't reveal the location until 24 hours in advance. Mm-hmm. So people buy tickets a week before. So there's 6 days where they bought a ticket to something and they don't know where it is. But we do post clues, and I always want to give a clue about the neighborhood because I do want people to know, whether it's accessible by public transportation or if it's going to be a long drive for them or have some idea of where it is. And then we give other clues that they sort of, you know, my first couple tend to be about the location, then they might be about the cuisine, and then, you know, the fifth clue is usually, something about the specific restaurant. So as you go on, maybe you can narrow it down if you're good, if you're plugged in and if you really know what's going on. And food bloggers tend to have an easier time with that, but there's a lot of people who never figure it out, and they're surprised when they get the email telling them where it is.
Yeah, I think I would have picked this one up closer to the ending there. Name for the father, son of Vader. I think that it's pretty much given at that point, but I think that's very, very clever. And looking at the menu, it's not, I mean, it's somewhat varied on this one. You have smoked trout salad, French onion soup, or warm spinach salad to choose from. Then you get into grilled beef onglet steak, right? Steamed clams and mussels, which I think was in that picture. And then followed up by dessert, which are just chocolate caramel cake.
Delicious. That sounds good, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That sounds fantastic. And people got to choose at this one, which is sometimes true, you know, and the meals come in different ways. And again, I leave it up to the restaurant. Sometimes they do family style. And so everybody's passing around and taking a little bit. Sometimes it's a prefix menu, and sometimes you have choices on that prefix menu, and sometimes you don't. Sometimes it is what it is. I will say that one of the things I am very sensitive to is I know that there are people with dietary restrictions. Mm-hmm. I know some people are allergic to this or that, or they're gluten free or they're vegetarian. And so when you buy tickets, there is a space where you can actually say, you know, hey, I have this kind of dietary restriction. And we take all those and we pass them on to the chef in advance so that they know what's coming. And these restaurants, I mean, this is what they do for a living. So they're very used to accommodating that. And that's never been an issue, handling somebody's dietary restrictions. But that is far and away the number one question I get.
It's certainly it's commendable that you compliment this with, these options. And I think that's important.
Well, and you know, that's one of the things, like you said, it's a learning thing. I mean, the number of things I've learned between the first dinner we did and, you know, now we're on our, I think we've done 20, 21 dinners, total. Mm-hmm. You learn a lot in that space. And that was one of the things that I learned, was that people. So
Seth, tell me about your podcast here.
So the podcast, you know, again, I love talking to food bloggers. And you know, there was part of me that thought maybe I should start a food blog at some point, but you know, I really came back to my strength is broadcasting. That's my background. That's what I did. And, like I was saying in radio, I love it. I love going into a different city and seeing how the music is slightly different. You know, I love knowing that, you know, you go into New England and the Mighty Mighty Bosstones and the Dropkick Murphys are big, or, you know, you go out to the West Coast and it's Oingo Boingo and it's Dramarama. And that's something that increasingly was lost as radio got more and more corporate. And I think that that's been true in food too. You know, as we've seen sort of the TGI Fridays and the Olive Gardens pop up, you lose, you know, they've just got a standard thing that, you know, the cheesecake does everywhere. And I wanted to explore different regions and talk about what makes those regions unique from a food perspective. And so I set up a podcast where we would interview food bloggers from all over the country. And our first one was actually Bianca Garcia of the Confessions of the Chocoholic blog. You know, we interviewed her. And the first several were in Boston because, frankly, I knew the food bloggers in Boston and they came on. And then we started expanding to other cities and Portland and Chicago and Memphis and Jacksonville and Austin and just all over. And really the idea is I'm a foodie. I'm coming to this city and I don't know anything about it. Tell me about the food scene there. And it's a blogger, you know, explaining what they like about the food scene and what they think is unique or what interests them about it. And it's great because these bloggers are so passionate that they love talking about it. And you know, the tagline that we use is it's for foodies who love to travel and travelers who love food.
Well, the foodies, and I've listened to some of your shows, they're very well spoken and they're articulate on this subject matter. So they're passionate about that. And that makes it very entertaining podcast.
Yeah, it does. And I think they've been great. And honestly, when we first started the podcast, it was just to recommend a restaurant in your town. Mm-hmm. And I was a little worried that it sounded a little bit too much just like a restaurant review in the local paper. And so we sort of expanded it and started talking about the city as a whole, you know. And so I would say, you know, I'm coming to St. Louis, which I think is the episode we just posted, which I'm really happy with the way that episode came out. And it's, you know, tell me what foods make St. Louis unique. Tell me what neighborhoods there are that I should explore if I'm a foodie coming to St. Louis. Tell me, you know, what I should do. And frankly, I've learned things, you know. I'm always curious when I talk to a food blogger in Vegas, do they really go out to the strip to eat, or is, you know, their life in Vegas beyond that? Do, you know,
I hope so.
I mean, you know,
I hope so.
You know, and in New Orleans, is it just Bourbon Street, or where would you really go if you were a foodie coming to that town? And what would you really, you know, and frankly, I've learned a lot. You know, I learn a lot about the barbecue styles of different cities. I learn a lot about, I haven't even published this podcast yet, but I just learned that there's something called a Seattle dog that they have up in Seattle where they put cream cheese on a hot dog. And I just thought that was bizarre, but
yeah,
I love finding that out. Yeah, and I love that little trivia. I discovered that, I think it's Memphis, where coleslaw is not a side on your barbecue. It is a condiment. And you can tell the people who are locals from the people who are tourists, because the tourists always ask, why do you put the coleslaw on the sandwich? Why don't you put it on the side?
Mm-hmm. So you know, where else can we find you? I see that you're also available on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Pinterest.
Yep. So, you know, a little bit of everywhere. You know, I'm on Facebook where we publish. I make a YouTube version of every or a video version of every podcast that we do. So the food bloggers will send in photos of the restaurant that they reviewed and we'll put them up and we'll post that to YouTube. We'll send that up to the Facebook page. I also just like to connect with other food bloggers and I like to share their photos. You know, and we do that on Pinterest as well, all over Twitter. Twitter actually has been hands down a fantastic tool, I found, in terms of connecting with food bloggers. I found it to be the most useful social network in that regard, because you get, you know, foodies who are interested in talking it's just been great.
Yeah, they love those quick little blurbs. I've been very successful on Twitter also and find it a great medium. So you're pretty active. Now, one of the things that before we go here, we're running quickly up on our time, but You were on Pinterest. Look at this food. This is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, if you can't get excited about this, so every restaurant, it looks like, that we've had meetups, is yep. Are you breaking it down by restaurant, or are you breaking it down by dishes?
Yeah, so I am putting up a board for every single event that we do, and we post the photos from our events. And I'm trying to keep up with it on the podcast as well. And then sometimes it's just repinning other things, you know. This big food porn thing that people get really into, where they just love the photos of food. So it's been great to use Pinterest. And then we put a collection of quotables, and these are just some things that I put together. But I went and found a series of my favorite quotes about food, and we put them together, which is in the bottom right corner there. And put them up.
Yeah, these are great quotes. I think the Julia Child one is what I like the best. I read these. It's so beautifully arranged on the plate, you know someone's fingers have been all over it. Julia Child. Classic.
Yeah, that's great, isn't it?
That's classic. Well, Seth, we are coming close to our end here, and I'd like to end this really. Is there anything else that you think that you would want to share to the listeners of Food Blog, blah, blah, my radio show, Food Blog Radio?
Well, if you're a food blogger and you're listening to this, first of all, we would love to have you come out to a mystery meat dinner. If you enjoy it, if you want to host, we'd absolutely love to have you host. If you want to get it started and be the first one to host it in your town, let me know. Contact us. And of course, we'd love to have you on the podcast as well. And we'd just love to talk about the culinary scene in your city. And that's something that's really easy to do.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Seth. I really appreciate you taking the time out. Everyone, this has been Seth Resler of mysterymeat.org. It's been a fantastic interview. Thank you very much. I'm Gary House, Food Blog Radio. I got it right that time. And we'll be talking to you soon. Thanks again.
Thanks so much.